next on the 5 o'clock report.
You vote for Republican or Democrat, it's still not changing. The problem is still here.
They all signed consent forms to go.
The important thing is that we're alive.
Our world is in big trouble.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Mark Webster. 2 million. That's the unprecedented number of so-called immigrant encounters occurring along America's southern border. And the war of words over the border crisis continues just as unabated as the flow of illegal immigrants.
You vote for Republican or Democrat, it's still not changing. The problem is still here.
That's a volunteer who aids migrants at an El Paso, Texas bus station, a frequent first stop for those entering the country illegally or otherwise. Congressman Tony Gonzalez says the numbers are only going to keep going up.
I mean, here we are in September. You wait till October comes, where it starts getting cooler. You're going to see those numbers kind of increase.
Gonzalez says he's tried to speak to the White House, but has been given the cold shoulder. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis dismissing accusations that he flew about 50 migrants to Martha's Vineyard as a political stunt. He defended the move on Monday.
They all signed consent forms to go, and then the vendor that is doing this for Florida provided them with a packet that had a map of Martha's Vineyard. It had the numbers for different services on Martha's Vineyard.
President Biden has been highly critical of efforts by DeSantis and Texas Governor Greg Abbott to move incoming illegals to Democrat-proclaimed sanctuary cities and states. President Biden says illegal immigrants are now coming from three different countries.
What's on my watch now is Venezuela, Cuba, and Nicaragua. And the ability to send them back to those states is not rational.
Professor Kurt Weiland is an expert on Latin American politics at the University of Texas. He says it's no shock that people want out of Venezuela.
Venezuela had massive hyperinflation, such that essentially their local currency is utterly worthless.
He says it's nearly impossible to deport them, too, because U.S. relations with Venezuela are so strained. Democrats pushing hard to rush more aid to Puerto Rico, the U.S. island territory suffering catastrophic flooding and widespread power outages after Hurricane Fiona blasted through. Speaking outside the Capitol today, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said Puerto Rico's aging electric power grid still hasn't recovered from Hurricane Maria 5 years ago. Lourdes is a Puerto Rican. She's been living in the country 12 years. She's one of 16 children.
They just went through Maria. Now again, but the important thing is that we're alive.
She tells a reporter she knows she lives in a flood zone there, but still doesn't want to leave.
I love living here because I love my neighbors. I like the environment. The only bad part about this is this.
But the storms won't stop.
I know.
Hurricane Fiona now bearing down on the Turks and Caicos Islands as a powerful Category 3 storm. Think the world's in trouble? So does the head of the United Nations.
Our world is in big trouble.
UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres. And what does he think is the world's biggest trouble?
The climate crisis is a defining issue of our time. No region is untouched.
But Russia's invasion of Ukraine is expected to dominate this week's meeting of the United Nations General Assembly in New York.
We are going to condemn Russia. We're going to isolate Russia. It will not be business as usual.
U.S. Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield. In Ukraine, more evidence of Russian torture of those they captured. CBS's Deborah Pata uncovered a house of horrors in recently recaptured territory.
We can see here some kind of wooden bat and masks that we understand were used to asphyxiate victims during periods of intense torture.
A number of Republican senators appear to be tentatively supporting $12 billion in new aid for Ukraine. A number of GOP lawmakers gave off that signal after a classified briefing held Monday night. Queen Elizabeth's funeral drew record numbers of viewers. In Britain alone, over 37 million tuned in to watch Monday's funeral. An estimated 4 billion people watched televised coverage of the Queen's funeral worldwide. Many injuries, some serious, after an apparent explosion destroyed a building on Chicago's west side this morning. WBBM's Chris Havermeel got an airborne look at the damage.
You've got a lot of debris that's in the street, which mainly came off of the top floor, the fourth floor. Cars been pummeled by bricks. You've got a lot of large debris field. Obviously, it's been propelled completely away from the building.
No cause determined yet for that blast. Health experts say people still need to roll up their sleeves for COVID-19 shots, despite President Biden's comment that the pandemic is over. Dr. William Tseng at Kaiser Permanente says while people are moving on with their lives, they still need to be aware of the risks the virus poses and that COVID-19 can still cause very serious illness and death. Nearly four dozen people facing charges in what's being described as the largest pandemic relief fraud scheme charged to date. U.S. Attorney for the District of Minnesota, Andrew Luger.
Their goal was to make as much money for themselves as they could while falsely claiming to feed children during the pandemic.
They're tied to a Minnesota-based nonprofit called Feeding Our Future, the alleged scheme worth $250 million. A controversial anti-poverty program in Denver.
The city is about to deliver a total of $2 million in cash to roughly 150 homeless people in an effort to improve their lot in life. What's strange is the fact that city officials say they will give the money primarily to, quote, women, transgender, and non-binary people. It's not clear why Denver would make special payments based on a person's sexual orientation or so-called gender identity. Critics say the only criteria should be one's economic condition.
Michael Harrington reporting. Depression. A new study says 10% of Americans suffer from it.
Researchers at Columbia University, looking at data from 2015 through 2020, found depression rates were highest in adolescents and young adults. The authors observed depression escalating even before the start of the COVID-19 pandemic.
CBS's Astrid Martin reporting.
Thank you for being.
And the late Betty White's most treasured possessions go on sale this week in a massive online auction. The Hollywood icon died at age 99 last year's New Year's Eve. Her many personal items up for auction include a Golden Girls script signed by White and co-stars Bea Arthur, Estelle Getty, and Rue McClanahan, as well as her original director's chair from her time on the hit sitcom. Still to come on the 5 o'clock report, Governor Hochul looking for some White House help, details on a fatal crash in the Southern Tier, and a Ukrainian concert pianist telling his story in Pennsylvania.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Our call for tonight, clear to partly cloudy and comfortable. Low temperatures, 50s and low 60s. Tomorrow, partly sunny, warmer than today, more humid. And thunderstorms and showers will be in the area in the afternoon and evening hours. Some could be strong. High temps near 80. Much cooler Thursday, mostly cloudy, brisk, couple showers. High temperatures then, mid-50s to the mid-60s.
All right, thanks, Kevin. Now checking the stories making news where you live across New York and PA. New York Governor Kathy Hochul has a call with the White House tomorrow in regards to the influx of asylum seekers coming to New York City.
Governor Hochul is trying to get the federal government involved with a huge surge of asylum seekers being bused daily to New York City.
About our shared interest in getting federal assistance for this crisis to help all of us, but also to address the work issue and how soon people can be able to have the legal ability to work.
Mayor Eric Adams says more than 13,000 migrants have arrived in the city in the last few months, and many more are expected.
We need the federal government, the state government, to play a role.
That's Scott Pringle reporting. The FAA has turned down a proposal to cut the number of hours required to become a co-pilot in half. Prompted by a pilot shortage, the FAA said it's of great public interest to keep the amount of aviation education needed to maintain safety. The current 1,500-hour rule came to be after a fatal commuter crash in Buffalo in 2009. A Buffalo man arraigned in connection with the shooting of a teenager last summer. That story from Family Life's Dee Haley.
20-year-old Javere Walker was charged with one count of murder in the second degree and one count of criminal possession of a weapon. Walker allegedly used an illegal gun when he shot into a crowd of people involved in a fight near Page Street. It happened on August 16th of 2021. A 17-year-old female died in that incident. Walker was located by U.S. Marshals in Cleveland and extradited back to Buffalo last week. He's being held without bail and could face up to 25 years to life behind bars if convicted. Dee Haley, Family Life News.
Right, thanks, Dee. A woman has died after crashing her car into a Bath, New York home. Police believe 48-year-old Arissa Mangini was having a medical problem at the time of that incident Saturday.
I saw the lady poking out of the house. She was very upset, so I went and talked to her. She said she was sleeping on the couch, and then all of a sudden there was a car in her living room. I said, well, you're very lucky that she didn't hit you.
Lauren Learn was first on the scene after hearing that big bang.
I tried to see if I could find the driver, so I had to cut out one of the airbags because I couldn't see her, and she was pretty out of it.
Mangini was extricated from the vehicle and taken to the hospital with minor injuries, but died unexpectedly later in the evening. An autopsy set to determine the cause of her death. A Ukrainian-born concert pianist is spreading the message of his people through music.
This war is very personal to me because my three nephews on the front line, and some of them lost already friends and colleagues, like one of the dancers from the opera house, been killed a couple of days ago.
During a visit to Penn State, Dr. Taras Filenko told WJAC Russia's invasion of Ukraine seems somewhat similar to World War II.
Because it's not war against people, not a war against state, against nation, but a war against cultural institutions as well, against national identity in general.
Since February, Filenko has been traveling around the U.S. sharing the music and history of Ukraine. Dauphin County prosecutors bringing charges today against 10 former Middletown football players linked to a hazing incident caught on video inside the high school last month. Detectives revealed that six players, ages 14 to 17, were targets of taunting. Three of those were actually sexually assaulted. No adults were present. Seven students have been expelled from the school, which is near Harrisburg. Interest in teaching as a profession has fallen off over the past decade and is impacting PA school districts.
Cumberland Valley School District officials say the district is down roughly a third the number of teachers they had at the start of school 5 years ago. Science and English subjects are the hardest positions to fill. While the state has put changes in place to eliminate the basic skills testing requirement, Superintendent David Christopher insists school leaders would prefer to have a large pool of applicants, enabling them to find the best folks who want to work with students. Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
Tracy, the family of a Utah Little Leaguer is now suing Little League Baseball in Williamsport over an incident last month that nearly claimed a child's life.
On August 15th, during the Little League World Series, 12-year-old Easton Oliverson fell from his bunk bed and fractured his skull. Now the boy's parents are taking legal action against Little League Baseball and the company that made the bed. They accused the youth sports organization in Williamsport of negligence for failing to equip the upper bunk beds with rails to protect ball players. Oliverson continues to receive treatment at a Salt Lake City hospital. In addition to undergoing emergency surgery to relieve swelling on his brain, the boy is also experiencing multiple infections and has started having seizures on a daily basis. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Now, how do you feel about roundabouts? PennDOT says they're saving lives. These circular intersections are helping to reduce traffic crashes, fatalities, and injuries in Pennsylvania. WNEP-TV's Scott Schaefer.
Roundabouts are, on the whole, safer than traditional intersections on busy roads. According to PennDOT, total number of crashes at these intersections is down by 9%. Suspected serious injuries reduced by 76%.
PennDOT studied 36 locations where stop signs were replaced with roundabouts. At 31 of those locations, there was a significant decrease in crashes. The first roundabout in Pennsylvania was built in 2005. Your nightly market report is up next, brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Here's Family Life's Dave Margolotti.
Wall Street in the red today. The Federal Reserve began their meeting, and all eyes are on them tomorrow when they will announce their next interest rate hike. Most analysts anticipate a 0.75% hike, but there is the chance they could raise interest rates by a full 1%. Ford shares today dropping 10% on their announcement of supply chain issues that are costing them $1 billion more than expected in the current quarter, though they maintain their full-year guidance. Oil moved a dollar lower, closing today at $84 a barrel. The Dow was down 313 points, the S&P 500 fell 43, and the NASDAQ dropped 109. Ambassador Advisors is a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more. Online at ambassadoradvisors.com.
This is the 5 o'clock report on Family Life.
Hi, I'm Rob West with the MoneyWise Minute. I love taking phone calls on the air from listeners across America every weekday to help them make tough decisions as they honor God with their finances. It's amazing to see how quickly our economy can change and how quickly people can find themselves in financial hot water. We have to plan for the future. Based on your lifestyle today, if you were to call MoneyWise in 5 years, what would your question be? Would you ask how to pay off even more credit card debt than you have today?
or for advice on investing your savings. The point is, the decisions you make today will affect your future and the future of your family. So don't wait until 2027. If you need help getting your finances on track, call today, 800-525-7000. Connect with a certified Kingdom advisor who's been trained to deliver financial advice that aligns with your Christian values by visiting our website, moneywise.org.
Coming up on the 5 o'clock report, home is where the dome is.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. We have a comfortably cool, calm night ahead of us. And for tomorrow, the last full day of official summer, going to look and feel the part. Temperatures surpassing 80 with some sunshine. Then some feisty thunderstorms will be a risk later in the day into the night ahead of a cold front. Our call for tonight, clear to partly cloudy and comfortable. Low temperatures, 50s and low 60s. Tomorrow, partly sunny, warmer than today, more humid. Thunderstorms and showers will be in the area in the afternoon and evening hours. High temps near 80. Much cooler Thursday, mostly cloudy, brisk, couple showers. High temperatures then, mid-50s to the mid-60s.
Thanks, Kevin. Finally at 5, they're called Dome Homes, and they've helped a Pittsburgh area college kid win a national award. Here's the story now from Family Life's Brian Query.
Christian Duckworth is eyeing a potential solution to house the homeless with foldable dome homes, and his idea to build these collapsible dome-shaped homes has earned him a $10,000 Build a Better Future scholarship. Duckworth has served meals and helped with renovations at Light of Life Rescue Mission in Pittsburgh's North Side to become an Eagle Scout. His dome-shaped homes would be 254 square feet, but fold down to cubes measuring only 8.5 feet to allow for easy transportation. They would also include a bathroom, kitchen, loft space, air conditioning, and solar panels to power the lights. The foldable dome homes could be used for disaster relief also. Duckworth is a freshman studying architecture at Pittsburgh's Carnegie Mellon University and hopes to continue pursuing his dome home project in the coming years. Brian Query, Family Life News.
Not bad for a freshman. That's the world we live in for Tuesday, September 20th, 2022. Thank you again for joining us. I'm Mark Webster, Family Life News.